Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, the big name the Astros are getting here is Jose Abreu. I don't know why I just didn't tell you that on the other side. Like, you don't
I
have
do.
A smartphone.
It's called
the just Google it.
It's a professional radio thing.
I know, but I think everybody knows between now and then. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe that was the way to go. Either, anyways, we're burying the lead here. Jose Abreu is reaching or is nearing a deal with the Houston Astros. Bob Nightingale, first report, the Astros are finalizing a deal for free agent first baseman Jose Abreu. I don't want Ken Rosenthal. Ken Rosenthal is also reporting that Abreu is finalizing a deal with the Houston Astros. We've talked about our free agent wish list quite often, what the Houston Astros need, what the Houston Astros want. First base was an area of weakness for the Astros in the regular season. Yuli Gurriel found the fountain of youth in the playoffs. We didn't think that could realistically continue in 2023. The Astros signing Jose Abreu is a lot of people's offensive target number one for the priority list for the Astros in free agency.
In so many ways, it seems like the perfect fit. You know, we don't know the price tag yet, and I'm always the guy that's concerned with price. But the fact that he and Altuve already have a relationship and they are boys, the fact that, you know, he wants to win a title, the fact that he can fit into the middle of a lineup where you've already got guys with pop like Tucker and Yordan, but he can fit right in there and probably see better pitching and hit for a better average than you got out of the position a year ago and realize that this offense is going to get better. And that's without even addressing whatever you're going to do in left field. He can DH, he can play first base, but he can hit. And he might not give you all the pop in the world, but just like we said with other guys, I'm sorry, Trey Mancini, it didn't work out from the hitting batting average perspective, but we did, at least early on, say that he was going to get more home runs than he did. But Abreu's a guy that should really be able to capitalize a little bit on the dimensions of Minute Maid Park as well. But I think seeing a lot better pitches in the middle of a lot better lineup and the fact that your offense has just got better if this indeed is the case.
Jose Abreu in a lot of ways, because there's two positions of priority that I wanted offensively. Justin Verlander was basically like my third option. I wanted a first baseman more than I wanted Justin Verlander. And I don't know if this necessarily means the end of Verlander. We'll discuss that in a little bit. And I wanted a left field DH more than Verlander. I wanted two bats in this offseason. And like when we had the Rafael Montero conversation as well, I don't care that the Astros slightly overspend on Rafael Montero if they still accomplish the two bats in the offseason. It seems like the Astros are locking up one of those two bats. From a first base priority list, Jose Abreu is at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. There were some concerns there, and some of the concerns that you mentioned, his age. He's going to be 36 years old whenever he debuts with the Houston Astros if this deal indeed does get done. And then his power, the home run numbers anyways, they did go down. He went from 30 in 2021, cut in half, to 15 in 2022. That said, his OPS numbers were relatively the same. They were 7 points lower, but then his OPS plus was higher. So, like, he hit fewer home runs, but he turned it up with doubles. He turned it up with his batting average. His average climbed to 304, up from 261. Lifetime, you look at the numbers, 292 average, 860 OPS. The Astros get, last year, the Astros didn't have a legitimate first baseman.
Right.
Sorry, Yuli Gurriel was not a legitimate first baseman during the regular season. He made us eat crow in the playoffs. The Astros now not only have a legitimate first baseman, but they have a top 10 first baseman, and I say top 10 conservatively, in all of Major League Baseball.
Well, and I'd like you to put in your analytics time machine that you go into, if you can punch in and like how many home runs would he have if had he played.
I think it was 20-something. I've looked at it. I think it was 20-something.
But I think, and I don't expect this to be a long-term deal, but I think this also accomplishes something that we talked about, the difference between and where the separation and the parting of the ways came between Click and Crane, which was he wanted to make a splash. Crane always wants to make a splash. This is a splashy move. This is a move that not only makes your team better, because look, you can make all the moves that Click was willing to make and realize your team got better. 2 years ago, it was the bullpen. The bullpen got better. Your depth because of catcher and first base and outfield with Mancini and Vasquez, it got better. It wasn't like seismic, but it didn't make the splash. It wasn't the sexy moves. But it did what you were supposed to do, what it was meant to do, and it made you a better team. this accomplishes both. This gets the Crane sexy factor, the boom wow factor, that everybody steps back for a second and goes, oh, man, he's going to make their better. I mean, he is. That's an impact player. And then from the standpoint of just in the lineup, what he means playing first base, the numbers you bring up, hit for average, the fact that in the middle of this lineup, I expect his power numbers probably go up. He'll see more fastballs and better pitches to hit. I think this is a perfect fit.
Yeah, even if they don't go up, like I expect him to hit 20-something home runs at minimum, which at first base, you're like, well, 20-something home runs, that ain't that great. He hit 15 this past season. I think he'll get closer to 20, and he's got 30 capability. He hit 32 years ago. Couple of things that I liked about Abreu, because that is the negative. Like, he's old, he's declining in age. The power numbers slipped this past year as opposed to 2021 when he hit 30. The positives that I liked whenever I kind of studied Jose Abreu a little bit, I mentioned this maybe last week on the show. His home-away splits are incredible. Where, like, you're wondering, well, why is he not hitting that well at home? He was a 274 hitter at home, 751 OPS. That's an average player, especially for a first baseman. Away from Chicago last year, he hit 334 with an 897 OPS. So for whatever reason, he liked hitting away from Chicago. Some people might say, well, the cooler weather in Chicago doesn't suit him well. He liked hitting better in warm weather. And I saw a story today from Ken Rosenthal on The Athletic that he was actually looking at the Florida teams because he wanted to play in Florida, wanted to play somewhere where that it was warm. So I look to the splits. The home and away splits is a huge positive for Abreu, that he hit well away from home and was lousy at home. And then also, if you look at the calendar, like his month-by-month splits, he started off really bad in March. May, he started to heat up a little bit, was fine. And then June, July, and August, when the weather was the warmest, the dude was like MVP caliber. He hit 346 in June, 964 OPS. He hit 350 in July, 923 OPS. And then in August, 333 average with a 796 OPS. So if he loves the warm weather, if he wanted to get out of Chicago, go somewhere warm that has a roof, that has climate control, I'm a big fan of this signing. I think the Astros hit it out of the park with this.
Of all the great stuff you just brought there, let me bring the other intangible into this, and that is a guy that hasn't won one before, that gets into the culture and wants to be a part and gets rejuvenated by the fact that, hey, I want what they've already gotten, and I want to be a part of this machine that keeps on rolling down the tracks. And getting in might give him a little extra boost of it. It's like Mancini said, only with a guy that has probably more ability, right? Where you get into this environment, this culture, this clubhouse, and it breeds winning. I want to get out there and I want to bust my ass for this team because I want to be part of the next ring that this team brings to the city. Get my first, be a part of what I've seen from afar and want to be a part of inside. I think that could do a lot, and I think that's an intangible that people don't give enough credit to. You take a guy that, you know, even when they were favored the last couple of years to really be successful, the White Sox failed miserably. Mm-hmm. They fell way short. Now he gets to join a winning program and be a part of the next generation and the next wave of trying to win another one. I think that rejuvenates him a little bit more, too. And he probably works out a little harder and gets a little bit more excited to be a part of this.
Yeah, and we haven't seen the contract numbers either. We'll continue to look for those because that is going to be a huge part of the story. But adding Jose Abreu to this team, I think that the Astros have hit a home run here. Besides the home run numbers, too, because, like, you know that I like to look at the numbers. Yep. I like to dive in. I like all the information. Give me all of it. Abreu is, like, one of the best hitters in terms of exit velocity. So, like, this whole he's lost power, I understand the home runs have been cut in half. He still is in the 93rd percentile in average exit velocity. A hard hit percentage of 97. He's in the 96th percentile of expected WOBA. He also fits the Astros profile. So he smashes the ball. He finds barrels. He's a great contact hitter. And what I mean that he fits in the Astros profile, he doesn't strike out a lot, and he's willing to take walks as well. What did we hear about the Astros lineup all season long? It's a team that does not strike out much, and they're willing to take their walks. Jose Abreu is the perfect fit to this lineup. The one question, the age, will there be regression? And then can he try to get a spike in the home run numbers from where they were a year ago?
Yeah, no, look, I think that obviously there's still going to be a few questions to be answered, and the money for me is the biggest question, but I think this is a massive upgrade at first base. I think offensively it's a perfect fit. I think that you bring a guy like Michael Brantley in on top of this, and again, you bring a guy that one thing you do know, assuming that he's healthy, a guy that wants to be here, that's been a part of the culture, that realizes what his role is, and what his role is and could be is a guy that hits 300 for you and just sets the table. Gets on base, he's a doubles hitter, he plays the alleys, but if he's going to hit 300 and hit doubles, He's got to be perfect in this lineup because he's just another guy that's a duck on the pond that's sitting there waiting for the other guys in the middle of this lineup to knock him in, and the team, again, gets better. And I don't think he's going to cost you as much as some of the other options in the outfield. So if you spend a little less and bring back Brantley because you spent a little more to get a guy with the impact of Abreu, I think you are better at both positions in terms of how it affects the lineup offensively. And that's the main thing here. This lineup is already very potent. I think it got better if you make those two moves. It got better already with Abreu.
Who are the left field options that you would like to see in addition to this? But how are you feeling about the addition of Jose Abreu to this World Series team and what he could mean to this offense as well for the Astros? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville is just absolutely the best. He literally is the best, in my opinion, at doing the neograft procedure. And if you don't know what that is, let me tell you, it's a way to get your hair back. If you look in the mirror and you realize you're thinning, you're balding, you got the forehead that's turned into an 8 head or the baboon's butt showing on the back of your head, and you don't know if there's any solution other than shaving your head, or you don't want to try those sprays and creams and foams that just mask the problem, you need to go see my friend Doc Linville. And as an ESPN listener, you can go see him for free. It normally costs $150. Go in, say you want to learn about the neograft procedure. Ask all the questions. How much does it cost? Is there financing available? How long does the procedure take? The recovery time? When do I see the full results? The biggest thing that got me was 95%+ of all the follicles moved, grow, and stay, and are going to be with you for the rest of your life. That's the one that got me. The fact that he explained to me that the hair on the sides and the back of your head never go away. Genetically, it's always going to be there. No matter where else you're balding, the fact that you're always going to have hair on the sides and the back means that's where he takes the hair from, every third or fourth follicle, until he can fill up the spots where you need the hair the most. And then you see it grow, and you see it blend in because it's your own natural hair, and you see the difference it makes in your appearance, and you're excited the way I was when the procedure was done and you went through the 6 to 9 months for the hair to fully grow in, and you go, wow, that's amazing. And I've told my friends, and I've got so many people to go and look and talk and get involved and sign up for the procedure because of the fact that they saw how well mine turned out. You can be the next in line. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, sign up for a consultation. It normally costs $150. For you, it's free. Let the process go from there. Ask the questions, get the answers, see if it's right for you too. There's nobody better, in my opinion, than Doc Linville and his staff. See him today, 975hair.com.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Thanks to Rambler Sparkling Water for bringing us some water, because we can't drink the water. As we know, that we're in a boil notice in the city of Houston.
Water.
So Rambler Sparkling Water, for those of us who did not prepare, brought us some water.
Why do you gotta do that? Why? Okay, fine. The whole free world has to know that because I live where not only everything's sweeter.
No one knew it was
but
you.
Evidently.
No one knew it was you.
But I did.
You incriminated yourself.
That's fine.
Joel, I didn't prepare.
I'm an open book.
I was talking about Brendan.
We're the norm, okay? Jeremy being over here with a bottle of water is not normal.
It's not 4 gallons. It's 1 gallon. The reason I bought the 1 gallon, not the half gallon, is because the 1 gallon cost $20. The half gallon
for the
cost
people
15.
On the radio.
Why wouldn't
reason
I get the value?
That they're figuring out if they got a water shortage and what the hell's going on, because you took half the water in the city in that barrel you brought.
Yeah, for people listening on the radio who can't see, Jeremy's over here with one of those red gas containers. He's filled it with water, and
it's
he's
black.
Drinking it out of there.
It's not red.
No, it's, you know, one of those gas containers. That's what you're drinking it out of.
Okay, but I'm prepared. I have water. It's clean. I'm ready to go. We
Todd
very much appreciate Randall,
I went
though.
Every day before the show, I go to the water dispenser that we have here, and I fill up my Starbucks cup because I go through a couple of those during the show. Todd goes, whoa, you know you can't drink that, right? And I was like, why? We have a power outage. The machine works. It's filtering, right? And he goes, no, I don't think so. And I'm like, oh, man. Because in Sugar Land, I didn't realize that, you know, there was the water issues here. By the way, I don't know that it's worth canceling school for, but all those
Ooh,
decisions
absolutely.
Being made
no,
at
no,
9:20.
No, no.
Why?
You have to cancel school if you don't have water.
You can do bottled water for the kids if they need to drink something.
HISD is doing bottled water.
Okay. Well, I don't know that you have to have water during the day. Most kids, my kids bring water bottles to school every day.
Yeah, you got to have water. They have to be able to drink water.
So bring your own.
But some people aren't, some people don't have that option. Some people don't have the option. Like some kids, and this is terrible, The only place they get a meal or drink is at school. Like, it sucks. I hate it. But
I understand the meal part of it for sure. But, I mean, the big thing for me is the fact that I didn't think about when I got here that that was going to factor in. Because, you know, at the house, we got those big Ozarka jugs that, you know, the dispenser. Lisa's been doing that for forever and a day. And I just fill up those massive size, you know, massive containers of those. And so I didn't even think about it. But then it's like, man, you realize how constricting it can be when you can't get water from the faucet and you can't get water from the machine. And that's crazy.
Huge inconvenience. We hope that it gets figured out pretty soon. But thank you to Rambler Sparkling Water. Now, do you think that you're getting hydrated normally?
Like,
do
you this is a question, because first of all, I asked you if you were into Satsuma, and you raised your eyes and thought that I asked you a sexual question.
No, I didn't.
When all I did was say
this
words
because in my mouth now.
Rambler Sparkling Water has multiple flavors, and Brendan asked me, he goes, what's Satsuma? And I said, I don't know, but I'm game. I'll try it. And it's an very refreshing orange citrusy. But the question that I had for you, aside from your sexual preferences on Satsuma, was, is when you drink a carbonated fuzzy water, do you still get the hydration? Because I thought in the past that there were studies that said the carbonation in the water takes away or limits the fact actual hydration factor.
I mean, I'm not a science major.
I guess I need to look this up.
Yeah, I don't think that the carbonation influences the hydration factor at
Google
all.
Google says it hydrates you.
It still hydrates you the same. Okay. Yeah, I don't think carbonation has any influence on the hydration of the water entering your body. But that's just my guess. 713-780-ESPN. The Astros apparently are finalizing a deal with Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu, one of the better offensive first basemen in baseball. Last year, he took a his home run production was cut in half last year, but all the other numbers rose. His average over 300. His OPS was just as good. His OPS plus was better in 22 than 21, even with the home runs being cut in half. Over the summer, he was fantastic. Away from Chicago, he was fantastic. Many people thought that he wanted to play somewhere where it's warm. Astros, Houston, warm. Also have a roof for whenever it's not warm. 713-780-ESPN. It ain't Chicago. Don't have to worry about playing outside in some cool days in Chicago. 0029, I absolutely 100% love this. Send us an emoji, too. I didn't know we could receive emojis. It's not a signing where you're not sure if he'll perform offensively. He's a no-doubt offensive force that's hungry for a title. I think he fits right into this as well. I think there's multiple questions that are had here in terms of Abreu's addition. One, where does he fit in the lineup? People love to have that conversation.
Six.
To me, I just plug him where Yuli was. Yeah, I just put him right behind Tucker. I don't have any sort of crazy things.
No, that's what I was thinking.
Because I'm not moving Pena. So I'm still going out because Pena was fantastic in the two spot. Altuve, like, he's your leadoff guy. I know we've had that fight in the past, but whatever. He's your leadoff guy. Altuve, Pena, Yordan, Bregman, Tucker, Abreu.
Yep, I'm totally with you on that.
And I don't think and whoever your left fielder DH is.
Now, people also thought Abreu. That this means the departure of Yuli is imminent. Look, I think that if Yuli truly does love Houston and he wants to be a part of this, he becomes your Aledmys Diaz, and Aledmys Diaz is open to go wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
And if he wants to go play for his brother, or he still wants to play every day and wants to see what else is out there, then Aledmys Diaz can continue to do what he does. And we realize Aledmys Diaz has a really big problem trying to stay healthy for a full 162, but playing the utility man is a perfect role for him. And in this situation with this team, who wouldn't want to be the utility man for this team?
You're talking about Aledmys Diaz?
Yeah.
I think that the signing of Abreu guarantees the elimination of either Yuli or Aledmys. One of the two is completely gone. I think that Aledmys is already gone. I don't think that the Astros would bring back Aledmys Diaz, period. I don't think it even matters what Yuli does. I think that they view
that
David Hinsley.
Performance?
Yeah, I think it's performance, probably a little bit of contract. He's going to cost at least $5-7 million a year. Right. I think they think that they can get.
You think what Hensley showed you was enough to believe he could be Aledmys Diaz?
Yeah, maybe a poor man's Aledmys Diaz, maybe not as good as Aledmys Diaz, in the ballpark.
I don't know that Hensley plays outfield, but he can play first base better.
Diaz also didn't play outfield well, and there's been some thought that Hensley might try to play left field in spring training. So, like, they've even had that mindset and that conversation of maybe he does add a little bit of left field. But he also does it at 10 times less, right?
Yep.
Where if you're talking about Aledmys Diaz getting $5 million, Hensley's about to get $500,000. So I think that they've already made that decision. Now, Yuli coming back, I think that Yuli, we've talked about this even before they signed Abreu, because we've been operating with the idea that the Astros are going to sign a first baseman not named Yuli Gurriel. It looks like they are doing that. We've kicked around the idea Yuli Gurriel can be your utility backup corner infielder. He can play a little bit of first base when Abreu needs a day off or is DHing. He can play a little bit of third, although at this stage, I don't want it to be a lot because I don't think he can do
he's
it well.
He's played second for Altuve in the
yeah,
past.
Again, not a lot,
right,
but he can do it
spot
in a pinch.
Duty.
And then also, he can serve as a backup DH type as well. Plus, he's also great insurance to have in case you have an injury to first base or to DH.
And somebody it takes the wear options. And tear as an older guy that the grind of 162 will put on those tires that he already has had plenty of mileage on. So I think essentially it's up to him. But if he wants to come back, there's obviously a spot for him. There's a huge affection in terms of the fan base loves this guy, and he's been a part of this golden era of Houston Astros baseball. People don't want to see him go. I think if Diaz went, they were like, hey, thanks for the memories, but, you know, good luck to you. We'll be fine. But because of all of the marks, the positive, indelible marks that Yuli left on this franchise, there's a connection in so many ways. And because, again, with that locker room being so tight, he's one of the keys to why it is such a culture with the Astros to where they don't want to lose him.
I actually want Yuli back more now. The idea of Yuli, I wanted Yuli back as a reserve infielder on this team. I didn't want him back as the starting first baseman on this team. There's a lot of positives that Yuli brings to this organization. One, two, he can be like a defensive substitute because of how well he is to picking. We know that. He's got a good glove over there at first base, can pick some balls out of the dirt. But the insurance he provides, good contact bat. I like the idea of having him on the bench. Also, one thing that sometimes we never talk about and I don't think can be like talked about enough is the Cuban connection that the Astros have built because of Yuli Gurriel. Yuli Gurriel is an absolute legend in Cuba. I think a big reason that Jose Abreu is picking the Houston Astros is because of Yuli Gurriel and the pipeline that they've built through Cuba. So I think that that's a big reason that Abreu is coming to Houston, and I'm hoping that they bring Yuli Gurriel back as a bench guy as well that can provide something offensively off the bench for the Astros.
Let me give you another factor that goes into this, why it was the perfect fit for both sides. Because Dusty likes to rest guys a lot. Because during the season, because of his load management, and we saw how it played out in the playoffs by being the healthiest team, and I saw other teams, Yankee fans and other general managers, basically, including, I believe, Cashman, point out the fact, well, they were healthy. Well, whose fault is that? You know what? As much as we questioned during the year resting a guy when he was hot or whatever, with the amount of days off that guys are going to get in this lineup, the way Dusty says, like it or not, you're going to sit certain times so that you know you don't have the wear and tear, Yuli gets more at-bats. He gets more games played. And so he's not your average utility guy just waiting for a defensive replacement opportunity or, you know, a rare day off. With the way that they give multiple days off all the time, Yuli still is going to stack up enough games to where he's going to play more so than in most utility guys on other teams.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Looks like the Astros are going to be signing Jose Abreu. What now for the Astros? I have a couple of things here. The left field DH spot. Does this change at all what you want from that position if you need to have it? What it means for Justin Verlander? We just mentioned a couple of offensive free agents, the Diaz, the Yuli conversation. How about the Verlander conversation? Also, what does it make you feel in terms of the general manager spot? Like, everybody, oh, the Astros are a clown show. They're in flux. Who was the dude from The Athletic that we had on that was saying, oh, the Astros are a circus right now? They just signed Jose Abreu with nobody in charge. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You know who's in charge when you want to play some money down on a game like Monday Night Football if the Jeff Saturday experiment excites you and you believe in the Colts over the Steelers or vice versa? You go to mybookie.ag, and the reason why we always tell you to go to mybookie.ag is because they take care of their customers every step of the way. They've always got something going on that is going to make a difference for you and make it more enticing than ever before to get involved with mybookie.ag. And they got all the sports. They've got all the soccer and World Cup. They've got NCAA basketball on a nightly basis, NBA basketball. You name it, they've got it, and there's a chance you can bet on it at mybookie. And the greatest thing is, sports betting is intense enough. You don't need to sweat your payouts. MyBookie has a no-strings bonus right now that lets you cash in and cash out quickly. Go to MyBookie.ag and use the promo code BET975. On a deposit as little as $50, up to $2,000, you'll get a 10% cash bonus. Bet your deposit amount once, and you're ready to cash out. You won't find an easy bonus like this anywhere. No strings attached, MyBookie.ag. Hammer the bonus on mybookie.ag so you can focus on what's more important, all the different games that you want to bet on and make the most uninteresting game more interesting. Amp up the fun. Get in on the action. NFL, NHL, NBA, college basketball, college football, and all the other games. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag and the promo code BET975.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Jose Abreu, it appears that he's going to be a Houston Astro. They're saying 3 years on this, Blankers. 3 years for Jose Abreu, which is a year longer than I would have liked. Optimally, like
you say, he's
like,
36. So 39 is when the decline really. See, Yuli Gurriel.
I would have liked 2 years, but if it's the price to play poker, it's the price to play poker, right? He'll be 36 next year. So 36, 37, 38. But still, okay. That's a year longer than I would have liked to go. But if it means that I had to go to a third year to get him versus not going to a third year and not getting him, give me the third year, right? That's where I'm standing. Like, would you do that? Like, if you knew that you could get him by adding the third year, but you couldn't unless you added it, would you be willing to go there?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you're not going like a 10-year deal. So you know that if he falls off, the return or lack of return on investment is only for 1 year at the end of the contract, because you assume the next two should be pretty good. But even if there is some fall off, he's in a lineup to where at what price matters, but at the same time, at what years matter too. And so if you're not sitting on the hook for 2 and 3 and 4 years where you know the decline is like Pujols level, before steroid or after, whatever it took, to get to where he got at the end. But he, aside from the flourish at the very end, he fell off the planet for like multiple seasons. You know, we saw the same thing from Miguel Cabrera. So if it's only one extra year, even though it might be a little spendy at the time, I also don't think you're going to have zero return on it. He'll still be productive per se, maybe not at the levels that caused you to sign him in the first place. But again, that means for the next two seasons, the door is wide open for you to chase another ring.
So Keith Law, we had him on a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him about, I mean, he used to work with James Click at Baseball Perspectives. They were colleagues. He covers Major League Baseball for The Athletic, always has some good stuff that he says, good stuff in terms of getting reaction. Now, he said that the Astros are running a circus because of the clown show that they have going on. The Astros have not had a GM because they fired their GM that won a World Series. They've signed Rafael Montero for above market value, no doubt about that. They've now signed Jose Abreu, it looks like, for 3 years when a lot of people thought it might be two or three. But how about the Astros getting things done without a real general manager? Like Bill Firkus is point person for free agent discussions. Crane's probably, you know, making a lot of moves. But this whole, Jim Crane's acting like Jerry Jones. The Astros were going to, like, they're going to have this rapid fall from grace. Yet here the Astros are signing one of the best free agent first basemen in all of baseball and making their team better with their owner acting like Jerry Jones.
Well, but like we talked about too, if your owner wants to act like Jerry Jones, but he's big on making a splash, this is a splash. This is a splashy move. Now the numbers matter, right? You don't want to see him give up massive amounts of money to get a guy like Abreu. But if he didn't and he got a splashy move that literally everybody in baseball that saw this took a step back and went, whoa.
See, then, I push back on that though. Like I'll push back on the money. You don't want it to see it cost more than what it has to. The only time that I'm going to care about the money is when it prevents you from doing other things. Like Rafael Montero, if it prevents you from signing a first baseman, left field DH, that bothers me. But if it doesn't prevent you from doing those things, it's a short-term deal, so it's not preventing anything long-term as well. I don't care if he spends an extra $5, $7, $10 million of his own money, and it's not preventing the Astros from doing long-term things.
And that's, you know, that was the point that I said initially when I saw the overspend on Montero. Is this going to cost you... keep you from doing other things, whether it be Verlander or the bats that we knew that he needed. But if he's not, if the tax doesn't scare him, if the fact that he's going to be aggressive, and if being aggressive means on the back end of some of these deals or for the duration of some of these deals, you may have overpaid a little bit, but it's not going to completely hamstring you for, you know, 10, 15 or 5, 7, right. 8, 10 years, then hey, that's what you want. You want an aggressive owner that's not afraid to open up the purse strings and not afraid to make the splashy moves to make his team better. And then if that's the only part of if he's not doing post-game press conferences outside the locker room and trying to be, you know, too much of the day-to-day general manager, I'm fine with Jim Crane doing what he's doing, because to me, you know, if you believe Michael Schwab and others that are out there saying that two names to watch as the Astros continue to still look for another bat, Wilson Contreras, Cody Bellinger. We both said we don't need Cody Bellinger, but if you had a Wilson Contreras, Abreu, you re-sign Montero, and you keep everything else intact, regardless of what you do or don't do with Justin Verlander, there is no doubt in my mind you are a better baseball team than you were a year ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where I'm at with Crane. If he wants to spend a few extra million of his own money and it's not going to cost anything for the Astros long term, I'm okay with it. It's your money. And I'm a huge dollar for the value type of guy. But if it just means him spending a few more million to guarantee those players, and he's not going to have any sort of long-term ramifications, there's nothing wrong with that. You mentioned the left field spot. And like, what does the Jose Abreu signing mean for the Astros now, the rest of the offseason? Let's start with the left field conversation. For me, it doesn't change it at all. I wanted a first baseman and a left field DH. You're halfway there. You've signed Abreu, go sign one more. Those names that you mentioned, I'm fine. Look, I'm not even picky. I don't really even care.
Well, you're out of the conversation on Nimmo for the most part,
yeah,
I would assume.
But that's true. I felt like there probably already were. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's fair to say. I'm not picky on who the left field DH guy is. You have Yordan that's going to be left field DH. You need somebody else that's going to be left field DH. I'm not picky who it is. If it's Michael Brantley, great. I can get on board with that. If it's Yoshida, who I was pitching earlier, great. I can get on board with that. If it's Benintendi, great. I can get on board with that. If it's Wilson Contreras, because he's played a little bit
that's
of left
true.
Field, he can play some DH as well. And he also gives you some position flexibility in
Has
case.
Has he not played first base a little bit?
He's played a little bit, but now you signed Abreu. He's played a little bit,
right,
but still,
right.
That's position flexibility. Yeah. Backup first baseman, backup center fielder, and your full-time DH. That's a good place to be with the position flexibility that he could bring. So I wouldn't eliminate Contreras from this conversation at all either. But any of those guys, I just listed four of them. I don't care which of the four, just go sign one of them.
Well, and in terms of a murderer's row perspective, when you talk about holes in this lineup, we knew that for a majority of the season last year, 7-8-9 was a massive problem. And the fact that as long as Brantley's health is okay, you can pencil him in and almost be guaranteed he's going to hit between 275 and 300 if he does take a step back a little bit because of his age. We know the power numbers will go down a little bit, but he's still consistently close to a 300 hitter. You keep a 300 hitter in left field and or DH along with Abreu and Yordan and the other guys in the lineup, and then you address catcher with the potency of a Contreras, and you go, my goodness, the only thing you got to worry about is if Chaz can hit for average or if Jake Myers is going to be your everyday center fielder. Can he hit major league pitching consistently? But now instead of three holes in your lineup, you're looking at the most potent 1-9 offense in baseball. And it's not only just like the Yankees loaded up for power. They didn't have anybody that could hit for average, basically. You look at this lineup and say, you want a team that hits for average? Boom. You want a team that could hit for power? Boom. You want a team that could put up 5, 6, 7 runs in crooked numbers on a nightly basis? Boom. This lineup right here will take on any lineup in baseball and put fear in pitchers' hearts. That's what you want. That's what you didn't have when you had the bottom of the lineup you had a year ago. Yeah. You won't have that now.
I don't think Contreras would be signed to play catcher. I think he'd be like the backup catcher, and then you're mostly full-time DH. I don't think that the Astros are going to be moving away from Maldonado for a couple of reasons. One of them, Dusty Baker, like believes in Martin Maldonado guiding a pitching staff. I don't think that the Astros are courting Wilson Contreras with the idea that he'd be the primary catcher.
But he's going to want to play almost every day, so you've got to find a home for him.
Most days he's going to be DHing. Or playing left field. Like whenever Wilson Contreras was being shopped around to the Astros at the trade deadline, I put together my plan for Wilson Contreras where he was starting like 2 games at first base, 2 games in left field, 2 games catching, and then like 1 game at DH. That's 7 times a week.
Let me ask you
He'd
this.
Be playing full
From
time.
From an offensive perspective, we know that he's a good hitter, right? But is he better than the other options you could have?
Offensively?
Offensively to fill that with someone that is a more steady, everyday type outfielder DH as opposed to a guy that's a catcher primarily.
His OPS is probably higher than Brantley's last year. And probably higher than Benintendi's.
Brantley got off
now,
to a slow start, but he ended up being the first guy to get to 300. But
Brantley had a very high on base, didn't slug a whole lot. Now, I mean, Wilson Contreras can hit. Wilson Contreras isn't like this little. He's a good hitting catcher. He's a good offensive
player. My question is he better than the other outfield bat type options that you could have that could play left field and not have to worry about it?
Well,
right?
The ones we mentioned, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
From an offensive perspective, now defensively.
And defensively is an issue.
Defensively, I mean, he's probably on par with Brantley at this point.
I'm saying because you weigh it out, right? If a guy's a better glove and has a better arm and is a better defensive outfielder, but his OPS is a little lower, is it way out? Is it better to go Contreras route, or is it better to find someone that can give you more defense that's close to him offensively?
I'd probably go to the bat, especially in left field, because of left field. Like, if you're talking center field, it's a much different conference. Now, Contreras doesn't play center field. But because you can hide somebody in left field, and because Jordan looks like, I mean, James Click said this, but he said that Jordan Alvarez was on track of being, you know, their primary left fielder next year, then Contreras would really be your everyday DH and your backup
catcher.
Think
about it from a Contreras perspective. It's also ideal if he's not going to have to catch as much, because all the wear and tear takes away from his ability to hit sometimes because he takes such a beating behind the dish.
No, I like the Wilson. Like, Wilson Contreras would probably be at the top of that, of those four that I mentioned. Contreras, Brantley, Benintendi, and then Yoshida, who I like. Contreras would probably be at the top because of the position flexibility. But just adding any of those guys, all of a sudden, that dude's batting seventh in your lineup. If you place him behind Abreu, he's batting sixth.
I mean, you look at the flexibility, even defensively, like we talked about, with guys that can play multiple positions. But offensively, you know the bats you're going to get every single night. You know what a staunch lineup this is going to be. You know that any team that comes in to face the Astros knows they got their work cut out for them, because offensively, there aren't the holes of a year ago. And they're better, both for average and for pop, if they add those kind of guys. If they do indeed get in on the Contreras situation, and Contreras goes, look, if I don't have to catch for the majority of the days, and I just get to sit back and hit on one of the best teams in baseball with a chance to win a ring, I might take a little less and sign for another year or two. I want to be a part of that.
Couple of days as the catcher, starts two games as a catcher, maybe one game in left field, the other three is the DH. 713-780-ESPN, can play a little first base too. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Jose Abreu, a Houston Astro. What does this mean for the Astros? What does it mean for Crane? What does it mean for this mystery general manager being able to get this done? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We're less than 30 days away from Christmas. You're probably thinking about Christmas ideas for your loved ones, for your kids. I was thinking about some this morning. I have the perfect Christmas idea for you. Do you have a kid or a loved one that loves some basketball? Well, if you do, you should get them the best basketball goal on the market. The goals from ProDunk Hoops. It's what you need this Christmas. Tempered glass backboard gives you a true, authentic feel. Adjustable goals for every part of your game. Lower it to dunk, raise it up to regulation. Competition grade breakaway rim. If you're throwing down some jams, you can have that competition grade breakaway rim. Perfect for dunking, hanging, keeping you safe. They also have an extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim, keeping you and your loved ones safe. Durability is a strength. The ProDunk Hoops stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, and their exclusive rust armor makes them sturdy and strong. Best feature, they install the goal. The pros at ProDunk Hoops professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't install. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all of the work for you. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. It'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Ryan, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Anyway, I think this is a great signing, but what was his stat on mound visit?
You know, I didn't watch a whole lot of Chicago White Sox baseball, Ryan, but I hope it was very, very high, because the Astros have just, you know, they won a World Series this past year. They had a parade of 2 million people, but the Astros have just not recovered from the lack of presence of Carlos Correa visiting the mound.
I need to appreciate that he sat on hold through a break just to make that joke and immediately cut out.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, their bank account showed that they moved on well. Now, Chandler Rome on that point is saying on Twitter, he's hearing the Abreu deal is expected to be around $60 million or 20 per season.
So the AAV is probably $2, $3 million on the high end, right? Probably, because we were thought about $17 million or so.
Right.
So an extra $2, $3 million per year, which again, if it's
another Crane overspend, but okay.
A slight overspend, but if it means that that's what it took to get Abreu and he's just trying to lock it in and it's not going to prevent him doing any other moves, I'm fine with it. And then the extra year. Probably went a year longer than would have been perfect. Like, perfect would have been like 34 total for 2 years, 17 per year. That would have been absolutely perfect. But if it means that you had to go to 60 for 3 years, you're paying them $20 million a year to lock in your player. Like, even if this doesn't pan out, It's a three-year deal for $20 million of a dude who just won a World Series. I'm totally okay with
this. I'm great with it. And here's the other factor you guys aren't thinking about, man. Now, aside from just the ring nights, think about like when they did the Yuli headband hair night. Now you do the Abreu beard with the rubber band night. Because you remember now at the bottom of his beard, he has all those rubber bands and does that like reverse ponytail on the chin thing. You do a couple of those and get more butts in seats. Jim Crane's got another marketable hair issue, like, all right, that he can capitalize on. We had Harden's beard. Now we got Yuli's hair. Now we got Abreu's. Make money.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. I'm meteorologist Tim Pandages here at the KHOU 11 Weather Center. I want to cut in this afternoon here at 2:43 to let you know that we have a tornado warning.
We're just having a great conversation about Abreu, and this dude cuts us off. How about that? They pulled off on Channel 11 the other day.
I know you were busy.
KHOU interrupted the football game, now interrupted us.
Did you see how hot I was about this?
I saw it. Yeah, I did see your tweet.
Like,
I saw your tweet.
First of all, the dude looks like if Bert from Sesame Street came to life. And then he comes out, and like he looked on his watch several times. I'm losing my bleeping mind because I want to see the end of the game. I can't believe that they're doing this. I know the people over there and know their incompetency level so well and their lack of sports knowledge that I'm sitting there going, this cannot be real. Like, they cannot be doing this to themselves, right? Then I'm flipping channels and realizing everybody else that has a firm grasp on television in the Houston area is doing a crawl and or a picture-in-picture or split screen to where it is not affecting program at all. And then I got Bert over here from the Bert and Ernie Festival.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. I'm meteorologist Tim Pandages.
Who is constantly looking at his watch and trying to give us meteorology 101. This is like a meteorologist's Super Bowl. He's like, all eyes on me for 17 minutes, bitches. Watch me talk about my Doppler and talk about what could possibly happen in this city and how smart I am.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm meteorologist.
Got news for you, Timmy. No one knew who you were before, and now everyone knows about you for the wrong reasons. And then you go and double down on Twitter, and you tell the free world, hey, by the way, sorry, but it's my obligation to do this when there's a tornado warning. No, Doppler guy, it's not. Your obligation is to put it out there somewhere where it's not intrusive and it doesn't affect my viewing pleasure. The fact that you were on my screen instead of the Bills and Josh Allen making a miraculous comeback down the field for a win.
Not that miraculous.
Annoying as
tell you.
All get out.
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you because I didn't see it. I would have loved to see how miraculous it was or wasn't,
right,
but I couldn't tell you. Because Timmy over here had
then, Chicken bleep times two, Jeremy. He puts that tweet out, which he regrets from the minute he hit send, and everybody is annihilating him. And his news department retweets it as if, yeah, it's him, not us. We didn't make that call. We don't want that smoke coming our way. Blame Bert, because him and his Doppler did this, and his hunger to be on TV and show his meteorology knowledge. BS. That was the worst move they could have made.
Hot take. I love it.
You love
Why?
It.
I love it. Because I have to hear every Thanksgiving how we can't stand having to watch the Lions every year. Well, guess what? You don't have to watch tornado
What are
coverage.
You talking about? I love watching the Lions this year. I was going to actually ask you if we could adopt the Lions as our team the rest
every
of the way since the Texans are lousy.
I hear people want to take that game away from the Lions. Good. I'm glad you didn't get to
Brendan
watch
Brendan sounds
it.
Like a disgruntled Detroit fan.
What's
Brendan's
name?
Everybody.
Tim Pandemic?
His tweet, by the way, said, my apologies, folks, but I have responsibility to get on the air and stay on the air through the duration of a tornado warning. So, like, initially, this was my reaction to it. I was upset because I wanted to watch the end of the football game, obviously. But then once I knew the football game was over, I wanted to see how long he was going to go. I actually timed it. He came on the air at 1:43, and then he left the air when the tornado watch was taken away by the National Weather Service. He was on the air for 17 minutes going solo about the weather. For 17
minutes. We timed it to 3:02, and then no spoiler alert. Like, I kept going, okay, right here's the clean break. He's going back to the game.
Yeah.
Right here, he's going, no. And then he kept saying, so the warning goes until 3. We'll be with you the entire time. I'll make sure that we're here with you up until the top of the hour. I'm like, your dumbass just told the world that you're going to inflict pain on them for 17 minutes?
Yeah.
What in the... And then I even said after this, the smart move, not that you're good at making smart moves, KHOU, but the smart move would have been right at 3:01, replay the final minute of the football game so people that did miss it got a chance to see it and didn't have to hear about it from all their friends in other parts of the country going, God, that sucks. Your station's stupid. We saw the whole game. They could have done that. They didn't do that either. adding insult to injury and going, how clueless can you possibly be?
My favorite part, I think, was the fact that the newsroom was completely empty because it was Thanksgiving. So as soon as he came on, I'm like, here's this part-time weather guy who has his chance to shine. Like, this is his one opportunity to really be on the air for a long period of time when all eyes are on him. And he probably entered that moment when the red light turned on where he's like, I'm going to shine in this moment. I'm gonna let my feathers out and let my peacock fly. I'm going to just totally take over this spot and be the best me than I am. But then also, like, the lack of awareness he had to a lot of people watching the football game. Because if you're watching Channel 11 at that time, you're watching the football game. So the zero awareness that he had that the game was going on was mind-blowing. He never made mention to it. He said, I'm not going to try to take you back there as soon as I can. Zero apologies whatsoever. That was his moment for part-time Tim, and part-time Tim went for 17 minutes on nothing.
I will say, I've never been in this exact scenario, but early on in my radio career, I did have to work a lot of shifts on a news station, and trying to decide when you need to cut into what's going on when, like, you know, it's not usually your decision to make isn't the most fun thing in the world.
No, but Brendan, here's the thing. It would be one thing if it was a Sunday and it was a game not involving the Texans. But even you guys know, I lose my mind when the Packers are the late game on the national front, but the first game goes overtime. And DirecTV thinks they have to black it out because you have to watch it on your local station. But your local station is sticking with overtime between the Dolphins and the Colts when I want to watch my game from start to finish. And there's no way of doing that. Then when you flip channels and realize this isn't just a Sunday, this is Thanksgiving, where the only NFL games are these three games and everyone's paying attention. And the fact that you're taking and sucking the joy of the in-between meal fun that you have on Thanksgiving of watching NFL football away, and every other station's figured it out but you. And you want someone that you can actually vent to and go after and say, what are you doing? And there's still time to correct this. And then you're right. And then he just wants to brag about how great of a knowledge he has of all the meteorologist stuff that no one gives a rat's ass about because he had his nose stuck in a textbook when you were watching sports. Get out of here.
The World Cup was on at the same exact time, too. So, like, you had another example of how another local station, you know, used their tornado warning or whatever it was at that exact time because there was a World Cup going on, which I think it was Mexico, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They just put the crawl. They put the lower third. Right. This is happening. They had the crawl across the screen. And then you had part-time Timmy that went on for 17 minutes.
Timmy Pandemic didn't realize.
With zero awareness.
He did not have to.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm meteorologist Tim Pandemic.
Look how happy he was. Like, he's interrupting everybody that's watching that game. Hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. We got weather going on. I'm so happy to talk about it.
Timmy's big mistake was tweeting that he had to be. No, you don't have to be on. Just the warning and the issues. It was a warning. If it was a touchdown, go to it. We got to make sure everybody knows. But the warning just means if I'm in this community, I need to be on red alert that there might be a warning. Instead, we had to see Bert's face for the freaking 17-minute duration of this one. And he kept looking at his Apple Watch. Well, guys, we've got till 3 p.m. I'll be with you the entire way. Are you kidding me?
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Every Monday at 2, our Mailbag Monday, you can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. We do it next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I totally believe in the people at Apollo Men's Health, and they are fantastic because they take care of people on a daily basis. With all the things that you got going on, you realize in short order, you don't have the energy you once had to get through the tasks of the day, your to-do list, the things at work, all the different things that you've got to take care of with your family, and you may be working out, and all the different honey-dos that your wife has you doing. And you realize you just don't have that kind of energy that you once had. Well, now you can get it back again with the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Many ways to do it. It starts with a B12 shot to see if it's right for you. I get one every Friday. I feel I have more energy throughout the week on a week-by-week basis. If you want to take it a step further, you can do hormone therapy for both men and women. There are answers, and it comes with the different ways that you can have it administered. You can do it there weekly at one of the two clinics near downtown Houston. You can do it yourself at home, and they'll get you the product. If you're a guy, you can do cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. You don't have to go in but every 6 months, but you get the benefit of more energy on a daily basis. They also have things for your workouts, smoothies and fat burners. They also have other things, like you can recover quicker, HGH peptide therapy. After a big workout, you're sore. Go to HGH peptide therapy. You recover quicker. You want to monitor your progress, your workouts? you can do a full body composition analysis. Mention my name on your first visit. You can get a full a body composition analysis for free or your first B12 shot. And basically all it takes from that point on is going to the website, apollomh.com, finding out all their services. If there's a couple that interest you, you think they could help with, set up an appointment. They'll take you from there, and they'll be with you every step of the way. They care. That's more important than anything else. They want to see you get results. Come in, answer their questions honestly, tell them where you're trying to go. They'll put you on a program that works, and they'll get your results. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.